KJAN Sports.
Time for Jacob Sports. Good morning. I'm Jim Field. Our sports update this morning brought to you by Nishna Valley Credit Union in Atlantic, where their purpose is to encourage savings, offer members low-cost loans, and provide other financial services.
Nishna Valley Credit Union in Atlantic is a community credit union offering you great services. Whether you're looking for a place to save your money or invest in a new home, car, or something else, visit with the staff of the Nishna Valley Credit Union. The Nishna Valley Credit Union is committed to making available financial products and services that will enable you to meet your financial needs and reach your financial goals. And now if you live in one of the 18 Southwest Iowa counties, you are eligible to join. Best of all, the Nishna Valley Credit Union offers the convenience of two full-service locations, Atlantic and Creston.
In high school cross-country action last night, Rebecca Topham led the way for Griswold as the Red Oaks cross-country meet was held. For the second straight meet, the freshman ran past the field for a first-place finish and an unofficial course record as she ran a time of 15 minutes 13 seconds, helping her team to a second-place finish behind Shenandoah Essex. Also helping out the Lady Tigers' effort, Jordan Sint was sixth. Freshman Alex Flippin also placed 14th. Bailey Powers 19th. Larissa Backus 23rd. Allison Young was 25th. Shenandoah won the team title with 55 points. Griswold the runner-up with 64. Harlan had 69 for third. Corning was fourth with 99. Atlantic had 122 points for fifth place. Glenwood, Clarinda, Bedford round out the field. For Atlantic, Allie Krogman placed third. 16:39 was her time. Also, Alex Hartwig of Atlantic placing 17th with a time of 18:46 in that meet last evening. On the boys' side, Xavier Olivo was 12th for Griswold. He had the best time for them with 19:09 as his run yesterday. In high school volleyball, just a couple of matches around the region last night. It was Missouri Valley and Western Iowa Conference play, defeating Riverside 3-1. Also, Earlham posting a 3-game sweep over Nottoway Valley of Greenfield in last night's volleyball action. Northern Iowa's moved up to number 2 in the FCS rankings this week. The Panthers moved up to the second spot in the FCS coaches poll after beating Stephen F. Austin 34-23 on the road. Quarterback Terrell Rennie was named the Missouri Valley's offensive player of the week with 126 yards rushing, 151 yards passing, and two touchdowns against Stephen F. Austin. Northern Iowa has a bye this weekend as the Panthers have their home opener on September 24th against Missouri State. Southeastern Conference Commissioner Mike Slive says he remains hopeful that Texas A&M will join the league by next season and that the conference has started to look at schedules for 2012 and 13 and that include 13 teams. SEC presidents voted to accept Texas A&M last week, but the invitation was contingent on Texas A&M being free of legal issues regarding its departure from the Big 12. Several Big 12 schools, including Baylor, have said they have not waived their right to consider litigation. Slive also said in the release statement that the SEC has no immediate plans to add a 14th team. He says the SEC isn't thinking in terms of numbers. He says the league thinks about its strength of the SEC and the attractiveness of Texas A&M as an institution. A person with knowledge of the situation tells the AP that Texas and Oklahoma officials met over the weekend amid speculation that the Sooners are considering bolting the Big 12. Oklahoma officials are reportedly considering the move in the wake of Texas A&M's recent decision to leave the conference with the hopes of joining the Southeastern Conference. Minnesota's team physician says football coach Jerry Kill is doing very well as he recovers from a seizure suffered late in the game against New Mexico State on Saturday. Dr. Pat Smith says Kill is alert, eating, and all tests have come back normal. He wouldn't put a timetable on Kill's return, but says his gut feeling is the coach absolutely will be on the sidelines this weekend against Miami of Ohio. Garrett Gilbert is out as the starting quarterback at number 24, Texas. The Longhorns will go with Case McCoy and David Ash in a rotation at UCLA. Former Florida State football coach Bobby Bowden says in an interview with USA Today that he was treated for prostate cancer in early 2007. In an interview published in today's edition, Bowden says he kept the details hidden from everyone except family members for the past 4 years. Bowden was treated by one of his former players who was captain of the coach's first team at FSU in 1976. Dr. Joe Camps, a urologist and surgical oncologist, implanted low-dose radiation seeds in Bowden's prostate. The longtime Seminoles coach says he is now cancer-free. The 81-year-old says that if he knew at the time what he knows now, he would have considered it my moral duty to bring it out in the open. Well, Tom Brady finally threw an interception and still looks sensational in the New England Patriots season opener. Brady became the 11th player in NFL history to throw for at least 500 yards, finishing with a team record 517 and four touchdowns as the Patriots whipped the Dolphins 38-24 in Miami. He iced the victory by hitting Wes Welker for a 99-yard score to put the Pats ahead 38-17 with 5:44 remaining. Brady completed 32 of his 48 passes and helped the Patriots set a team record with 622 total yards, the most allowed in Dolphins history. Miami quarterback Chad Henne was productive in the battle of former Michigan quarterbacks. He passed for 416 yards and two touchdowns. Henne also scored on a 9-yard run midway through the first quarter after Brady was picked off for the first time in a league record 359 passes. An NFL record was tied during the first half of Oakland's 23-20 win at Denver. Raiders kicker Sebastian Janikowski hit a 63-yard field goal as the half expired. That matches the mark shared by Tom Dempsey and Jason Elam. The kick gave the Raiders a 16-3 halftime lead. Darren McFadden provided the bulk of the Raiders' yardage by carrying 22 times for 150 yards. Jason Campbell had only 96 passing yards, but also threw for a touchdown and ran for another. A person familiar with the situation tells the Associated Press that Chiefs safety Eric Berry has a torn ACL in his left knee and he's done for the year. Berry was hurt in the first quarter of Sunday's loss to Buffalo when he was blocked by Bills receiver Steve Johnson. That's according to a person who spoke on the condition of anonymity because the Chiefs have not disclosed the details of that injury. Chargers coach Norv Turner says kicker Nate Kading is out for the year after injuring his left knee during the season's opening kickoff. Kading entered the season as the most accurate kicker in NFL history, having made 86.5% of his field goal attempts in the previous seven seasons. Turner says the Chargers already have a list of possible replacements. Also, Carolina linebacker John Beeson will miss the rest of the season with a torn left Achilles tendon. The team announced on Monday the results of an MRI exam that revealed the tear Beeson sustained in a 28-21 loss at Arizona in the season opener on Sunday. Beeson signed a $51 million six-year deal this summer, including a $20 million signing bonus. I'll have more sports after this timeout.
The Nishna Valley Credit Union in Atlantic is a community credit union offering you great services. I'm Jeff Nelson. Whether you're looking for a place to save your money or invest in a new home, car, or something else, visit with the staff of the Nishna Valley Credit Union. The Nishna Valley Credit Union is committed to making available financial products and services that will enable you to meet your financial needs and reach your financial goals. And now, if you live in one of 18 Southwest Iowa counties, you are eligible to join. Best of all, the Nishna Valley Credit Union offers the convenience of two full-service locations, Atlantic and Creston.
In baseball, the Tampa Bay Rays were 9 games off the AL wildcard lead following a 3-2 loss to Baltimore on September 2nd. Since then, they've shaved 6 games off that deficit by winning 8 of their last 9, including last night's 5-2 triumph against the Orioles. Ben Zobrist had 3 hits and 3 RBIs to help the Rays pull within 3 games of the wildcard leading Boston Red Sox. B.J. Upton doubled twice and walked twice and sent a Rays record by reaching base in 9 straight plate appearances. Detroit has its first 10-game winning streak since 1968 after Johnny Peralta and Ryan Rayburn hit back-to-back homers in the second inning in the Tigers' 14-4 clobbering of the Chicago White Sox. The Tigers see their magic number now dip to 6 in the AL Central. The New York Yankees enjoy a season-high 4-game lead over Boston in the AL East after a 9-3 rout of Seattle, and Oakland was a 6-3 winner against the LA Angels. Over in the National League, Atlanta still leads the wild card by 4.5 games over the St. Louis Cardinals after losses by both the Braves and the Cards. Mike Stanton's RBI single in the 12th inning pushed Florida past the Braves 5-4. The Cards were 6-5 losers in Pittsburgh as Pedro Siriaco hit a tie-breaking 2-run double while the Pirates were scoring 3 times in the 8th inning. Albert Pujols hit his National League-leading 35th homer and drove in 3 runs but couldn't prevent the Cardinals from ending a 5-game winning streak. Arizona's lead in the NL West remains 8.5 games over San Francisco as Gerardo Parra singled home a pair to cap a 5-run 6th inning in the Diamondbacks' 7-2 triumph at Los Angeles. Homers by Carlos Beltran, Cody Ross, and Pablo Sandoval powered the Giants past San Diego 8-3. Also in the NL, Carlos Lee belted a 2-run homer as the Astros beat Philadelphia 5-1. Starlin Castro stretched his career-high hitting streak to 13 games, going 3-for-4 with a homer, 3 RBIs, and 4 runs scored in the Chicago Cubs' 12-8 win over Cincinnati. And Stephen Lombardozzi's first major league hit was an RBI single that snapped a 2-all tie in the 7th inning in Washington's 3-2 win over the Mets. A person familiar with the negotiations tells the Associated Press that pitcher Chris Carpenter and the St. Louis Cardinals are closing in on a $21 million two-year contract. St. Louis has a $15 million option for next season as part of a $63.5 million five-year contract agreed to in December of 2006. That deal carries a $1 million buyout. The 2005 Cy Young Award winner is 9-9 with a 3.75 ERA and 30 starts this season. Elsewhere, the White Sox activated slugger Carlos Quentin from the 15-day DL ahead of their series opener against visiting Detroit. Blue Jays reliever John Roush has been placed on the 15-day DL because of a cartilage tear in his right knee. Police say former World Series MVP Manny Ramirez has been arrested and charged with battery following a domestic dispute at his Florida home. The Broward County Sheriff's Office confirmed Ramirez was arrested on Monday. Also, lawyers for the San Francisco Giants fan who was brutally beaten outside Dodger Stadium say his medical care is expected to cost more than $50 million. The family of Brian Stowe has filed suit against Dodgers owner Frank McCourt and 13 others within the team's organization. In tennis yesterday, Novak Djokovic has four career Grand Slam titles now after claiming his first U.S. Open championship. The world's top-ranked tennis player defeated second seed and defending champion Rafael Nadal 6-2, 6-4, 6-7, and 6-1. Djokovic managed to close out the victory despite an apparent back injury that caused him to receive medical attention after the tiebreak. It's the third major title of the year for Djokovic, who also captured the Australian Open and Wimbledon. Only five other men since the Open era have captured three slams in 1 year. Djokovic is 64-2 with 10 titles this year. That includes a 6-0 record against Nadal, with each victory coming in a final. Serena Williams has been fined $2,000 by the U.S. Open for berating the chair umpire during Sunday's 6-2, 6-3 loss to Samantha Stosur in the U.S. Open women's final. Williams earned $1.4 million at this year's final major tennis tournament, $900,000 for reaching the final, plus a $500,000 bonus for finishing first in the standings of the U.S. Open series, which takes into account results at hardcourt tune-up tournaments. And a report by the National College Players Association and a Drexel University professor obtained by the Associated Press says the average fair market value of top-tier college football and men's basketball players is over $100,000. And the report by the advocacy group says the athletes are entitled to at least a portion of that. The report, which will be released today, says that instead players receive athletic scholarships that don't cover the full cost of attending school, leaving many of them living below the poverty line. The NCAA replies in a statement that President Mark Emmert and college presidents have made it clear that they support grants that cover the full cost of attending school, though Emmert opposes paying college athletes. That's Check of Sports this hour, brought to you by Nishna Valley Credit Union, located at 200 Maple Street in Atlantic. I'm Jim Field, KJAN Sports.